Hello, stoned apes and others who are curious about the healing powers of psychedelic medicines. Welcome to the Stoned Ape Reports. I'm your host, Stuart Preston. Each episode, I talk to another stoned ape, somebody who has experienced the transformational powers of psychedelics, or with a practitioner who works with these medicines. In this episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Sophia. We discussed the trauma of separating from a strict church, or cult, and how entheogens helped her get through that. Please enjoy this episode with Sophia.
Sophia, thank you so much for talking with me today here on the Stoned Ape Reports. I'm really excited to learn about your experiences. I think that they're unique. I hear from other people who have dealt with a similar type of situation in life, but you'll be the first person I talk to really kind of dig into this. So if you could tell us a little bit about kind of what brought you to your psychedelic entheogenic journey.
Yeah, definitely. So I was actually reflecting about it and realized that I had a little bit of experience with mushrooms before my really formative journey, where I had kind of just a transformative experience. I did have, you know, prior to that, a small trip that came about just from having, I should probably back up a little bit more to give you a little more context. So really initially in February or sometime around that of 2017, I had for the first time ever smoked cannabis, which was like, you know, you would think at 26 years old that that's something most people have experienced, but I'd really had a sheltered experience where I had, you know, been raised in a religious cult that was very, very restrictive and always had really restricted social structure. So anybody in my life was always with this religion. I really never had opportunities where if I were ever presented with the opportunity to do something, there was either that looming fear of, you know, unseen eyes in the form of God, or just knowing that really someone in my life would find out. So I had been married for a few years at that point, and my spouse and I both decided that it was just something we really felt like wasn't harmful. I remember years in the past, even consulting like some religious literature, trying to determine whether or not God felt that there was anything wrong with using cannabis, because I never understood the reasoning to not be allowed to use it when, you know, people in my religion did drink alcohol. And so it was just, a time in my life when I really wanted to be able to experience things, and I didn't really understand that pull to do so, because I still had the mindset of being indoctrinated of, you know, not following my own will, but really following that first instinct did kind of allow those initial conversations to have like philosophical discussions with my spouse, talking to my friend who, I would smoke with about his mushroom journeys and about his experiences with psychedelics, and really contrasting that to the way I would feel when I would drink alcohol and I would be with people in my religion. And really, I had at the same time been confronting the fact that I was abusing alcohol and that I was binge drinking. And I had a family history of alcohol abuse, and my mom had recently gone through the 12 steps and apologized to me for her alcoholism in my childhood, which had been kept from me. So there was a lot regarding substances coming up for me emotionally at that time. And I was feeling really unprepared and unsupported to deal with how I felt about them. And the only thing I was really finding solace in was exploring these entheogenic realms. And so my friend kind of talked more extensively about his experiences with mushrooms. I just thought back to something my spouse had said, where he felt like maybe smoking weed wasn't the most mature move, right? Or like maybe there was something wrong with what we were doing, because that was the mindset we were in. But, you know, he said we might not be maturing, but we were growing as people. And that thought and like that idea just kind of struck me. And like, I'd never really grown myself as a person before. Like it had just been not a concept that was accessible to me. So with that in mind, I had an initial mushroom journey that was really small prior to the one that I'd emailed you about, that I'd kind of forgotten about in the back of my mind, which I'm glad that I did. For anybody who has no experience with psychedelics, I think it is important to be introduced in a gentle way to that space, because there was just things and, you know, experiences that I'd never felt before, that I had no frame of reference for. And because my religious upbringing also was very, like, I guess antiseptic is a good way to describe it. So, you know, a lot of people might have religious experiences that mirror psychedelic experiences. You know, you can reach ecstatic states from prayer or meditation, dance and song. Like, you know, I do believe those things are accessible, but I had really had a disembodied religious experience where I did not feel connected to anything. There's a lot of just pain and penance. So it was very helpful to have that initial experience. But then, to answer your question a little bit further, a few weeks after having a small, like, microdose of mushrooms in April of 2017, I took, which was like my first mushroom journey, which was, you know, I'm trying to remember, at least like 3.5 grams, and really experienced basically like what I would have called maybe a breakthrough trip, where I, you know, not only went within realms externally, but also internally, and had really a, you know, visionary kind of experience. And during this time, I was just having lots of racing thoughts and intrusive thoughts that, you know, obviously come up on psychedelics and mushrooms, but these were like helpful. It was like my brain was actually telling me something helpful. Instead of really ruminating, I was just hearing my own voice telling me, like, you're in a cult. And really just sharing this news with me and telling me over and over again, like confirming the thing that I was really scared to say aloud, which was that, you know, in a high control religious environment. Because up until that point, I'd really flirted with the edge of that idea. You know, I was always really interested in other religions. I would read and study them as part of my, like, evangelical studies to, you know, better attack and convert those people. But on another level, I'm also really interested in, like, religious ecstasy, like some kind of meaningful connection with spirit or something, even personal, that where you really, you know, felt something. And so I had had that, like, somewhat of a background with that, or, and I would also run into moments where there's serious cognitive dissonance in the contrast to my own beliefs. Or, you know, I would have times when I would be interested in different topics or listening to, say, a podcast talking about cults and finding it really fascinating, and then finding my group mentioned or hallmarks of my group mentioned and having to shut it off. Or even on engaging on Reddit, you know, I would have people in my church let me know that, oh, well, don't go on the front page today. There's a message about the organization. There's a news article about the organization that you don't need to see. And so I would have these things that had obviously, like, had serious cognitive dissonance about, where I just would not touch it, even with, you know, smoking cannabis. Like, that was like a, you know, I laugh at the idea that it was a gateway, because that's the stigmatized thing. But it kind of open up that realm. And I think I did start to understand that maybe these things were withheld or not allowed to me because, unlike alcohol, which I don't say this with any shame towards use of any substance, but alcohol in contrast to using cannabis was definitely way easier to use in a numbing way, a way that made me disconnected from my body and my emotions. And so those experiences with psychedelics had all been, and all of those other thoughts had really been building before this trip. But during that time, it was like it all came together and kind of, you know, whispered in my ear, like, this is what you're really scared to say and what you need to know. Because those words were not, like, things that I could put a voice to at the time. Like, I'd started to talk about some of the things, and then skirted away from it, especially because I just, as soon as I started seeing that I was abusing alcohol and really like also finding cannabis was helpful for the various physical illnesses that I was experiencing at that time. I had a lot of like chronic pain and chronic illness, and that was very common among my religious congregation, where a lot of people experienced what I would now say are really like symptoms of not being happy, of like severe cognitive dissonance, severe psychological distress manifesting in like physical ways. So I had had, you know, also that background of like, wow, this is something that actually really helps me. It's medicinal. And my state had recently started to recognize that as well. So then I was having like further confusion. But the thing that was so remarkable about this mushroom journey in particular was that during this time, not only did it really tell me in such a gentle way what I needed to hear, but also that I was literally shown like a vision of talking to people that I love, that I'd grown up with, that were really my ties to this religious organization, and just telling them with complete honesty and transparency that I was leaving. And so I really saw this vision of myself where I was then able to have a favorable outcome and have my decisions respected and have people listen to me. And also where I saw myself not trying to force that opinion on others, because that had been such a big part of my religious experience, where conversion was really emphasized and something that I'd had tangled with morally for such a long time. And so even though my actual lived experience of leaving that religion did not at all maybe pan out how my mushroom journey had shown me, it laid the foundations for even the concept that it was a choice. Because up until that
point, in a way, it seems like it wasn't confrontational or judgmental or, you know, even, you know, self-deprecating. It seemed like it kind of showed you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seemed like it showed you like a gentle way to approach this. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, definitely. Because I had really wrestled for a long time subconsciously with, if I ever were to leave, how could I even do it? Because my parents who had raised me in this religion and who really affirmed a lot of like very damaging ideas as part of their own indoctrination had actually left the religion a few years prior to me. And during that time, I'm reluctant to say that I shunned them, because I really had a very strange relationship with them and at times an abusive upbringing. And it felt validating that people in my life seemed to see that they were not good, that they were, you know, not, that I didn't need to cling to them out of the necessity of them being my birth family. But then, you know, after years later, I also understood that while I needed that validation at the time of my own traumas, I did need support, and I didn't need, maybe, you know, they were maybe giving me what I needed at the time, but with their own motivations. And so I really struggled with the fact that when my parents had left, they'd done it in a really abrupt way. They'd basically formally removed themselves from the church in a manner that like caused a lot of upset and required like basically a public announcement. And it was really traumatic to me, because people I hadn't known in ages had come out of the woodwork to both, I guess, encourage me not to follow in their footsteps and also basically slander them. So it was, you know, a hard period in my life, and also not a model that I wanted to repeat. So I think how you put that is just definitely very accurate, because even though, like I said, that there still ended up being a very difficult process, I really was able to use that as a foundation that I could talk to people from, like, speaking my own truth from.
Yeah. And the mushrooms help you explore that by giving you these visions and kind of giving given you this new kind of self-talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a good way to put it too, because I had prior to that been really disconnected from the idea of having a positive inner voice. I'd been in therapy on and off in the past, mm-hmm. and been kind of familiar with the concept of like a pathological inner critic or an internalized negative voice, but I never felt like I could either kind of break past the negative rumination that would happen or also cultivate my own inner voice. Like, I don't know if that concept had never been presented to me before, or if it was just not something I'd ever felt capable of, or also, you know, part of my indoctrination was really that not only is your body like weak and wrong and sinful and flawed, but also that your heart and your mind are not trustworthy. You know, that you really can't rely on yourself at all. And I think that's over the dozens of mushroom journeys that I had taken since then, that is a huge thing that I have taken away from them, is that sense of self-reliance. That you can actually, you can trust yourself, you can trust your own intuition, you can, you know, to quote a scripture, you can lean upon your own understanding. And that's like a very difficult concept to introduce to yourself when it's not even been part of your frame of reference. Like, it's hard to know that you're missing something intellectually or conceptually that's just never, you know, it's, what is there to miss when you've never even like had that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Cause you mentioned, cause obviously the journey here helped you see things clearly and find a path to get to where you needed to be. But like you said, you didn't really know what to expect, you know, once you kind of made that separation from your church. But you mentioned to me feeling open and feeling free, and these seem like new ways of thinking for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it was like, it kind of gave me the idea that I could even think for myself, or that those things were available to me. And nice. Also...
And so now... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's all right.
The I'm wondering, you know, in addition to this, and now you've been through all of this, you know, how is your life different, you know, in other ways, you know, as part of this big change that you went through? Mm-hmm. What are there some other things? And I guess I should ask, you know, do you continue to do, you know, mushroom journeys or other journeys? Are you exploring other areas? I mean, what other kind of growth or changes have you noticed after this big one?
Yeah, it's so hard to even say, like, you know, ways that my life has changed, because when I was preparing for this interview, I was really trying to kind of get back in the frame of reference that I had during those initial formative mushroom journeys, where I could really be able to answer questions without like my current perspectives. And it was really hard, because there are just, you know, incredible ways in which my life has changed. But I think a good example to cite is just that I'm now enrolled in college, which is something that, I was raised just with the like absence of allowance towards higher education. It was really demonized. I had dropped out due to like a bunch of health issues when I had been like probably 19 or 18 years old. And from that point on, like, no one in my life was supportive of me ever re-enrolling in school. You know, I would try and go back, and, you know, people would kind of like either kind of in a socially controlled way tell me no, or just flat out tell me like, you're not doing all you can for the congregation right now. You don't have time for that. So now I am enrolled at my local community college, working on my associate's degree, which is so intimidating, because my long-term goals are to be a licensed mental health counselor. And so, so I definitely have a lot of schooling. But one of the things that I think can answer your question a little bit more fully is, I hope that by the time I do obtain my master's degree, some of the things that will be more accessible legally to me would be offering psychedelic integration, and maybe even working with people directly in like a one-on-one clinician setting. You know, of course, there's like some really great research going on, but it's also still just very confusing as far as how clinicians are legally allowed to work and study things. Right. So that kind of informs like the second half of some of the things that I've been involved with, which is working with students for sensible drug policy. And that's a fairly, something that I started fairly recently was the chapter because, you know, entheogenics have a huge place in my life. The first year that I initially started using them, I had gone on like, I think probably a dozen or so mushroom journeys. And I think that that is something I credit to getting me through those periods of time that were honestly so isolating and so difficult and left me in like a state of suspended animation where I'm having things, you know, childhood traumas and choices that I made as an adolescent that did me a disservice now and things within my own marriage all being like reflected at me and then having no support group in the interim. And, you know, honestly, there's probably a lot of people that would even say that those were maybe not the most conducive environment to do psychedelics. And I kind of think that that speaks to how they can be really therapeutic, depending on how you choose to use them. And that's something that's very important to me, that what you do with your trip and your journey and the kind of intention that you bring to it, whether it's like a really conscious thing or not, is very, very important. And during this time, I had very little external support aside from my husband and one of my good friends who was dealing with a similar process, but they were really invaluable. And so was like the support of the Reddit community and people that I'd met. And that in conjunction with regular therapy and committing to being in therapy and committing sessions was huge. And I think that those two things, like being able to couple my psychedelic trips with regular integration and actually like the isolation was a form of like forcing me to process things. Those, you know, it's like one of those things you never want to go through something like that. And at the same time, like speaking to you now, I can reflect on those periods and think that they really came together in a way that forced me to overcome a great deal in a fairly short amount of time.
Yeah. And now you look back on it with this whole amazing new perspective.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
A new way of thinking.
Because initially when I left in that year, like 2017, I had jotted down like a bucket list of things. And I'm like looking at it now. Or some of the things were like to donate blood, to get my nose pierced, to watch demonic movies, to go to a yoga class in public. And I mean, some of them aren't, they actually sound just too absurd to even read them out loud because they're really simple. But I came a point of maybe a year or maybe more, maybe a year to 18 months ago where I remembered I'd had this list and there are things on it that I've checked off that had just not even fazed me that they were bucket list material. They were just kind of part of my everyday life. Like I'd really wanted to do LSD for a long time, especially because it's just had such a major influence in, I guess what people call the psychedelic renaissance. And you know, when I did finally have an opportunity to try it, it was a really wonderful experience and I have a lot of good things to say about it. It also didn't faze me like I expected it to, which was a really beautiful thing. Coming from like a frame of reference only, you know, maybe a year and a half before that, where I would have been petrified to even do that. You know, I might have thought I would be possessed by demons. It's a conversation I'd had very very recently to doing mushrooms was someone warned me of that. So.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. I also came to LSD after mushrooms and it ended up being an amazing experience, but it felt a little more sterile or clean.
Yeah.
Compared to a mushroom experience.
I'm kind of relieved to hear somebody else echo that idea, because I think it's something that's really interesting and somewhat divisive, because you also have people who are more on the side of it from like an entheogenic perspective, that mushrooms are quote unquote more natural, and there's like some virtue signaling about that. But at the end of the day, I'd really agree with you. I loved LSD, and I think it does have a really amazing place. I would love to know more about the pharmacology of it and see that study. Mm-hmm. I never felt like it touched the level of like experience that I had on mushrooms. And I don't know that I could really conceptualize it any better than you did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I bet more people do feel that way. So this whole experience, really quite incredible. You know, I almost had this vision of you just kind of walking out of a cloud and into freedom. And do you share this specifically about psychedelics, about entheogens? Do you share this with other people? Have you had anybody from your church come to you and say, me too, whether about psychedelics or about just feelings? What about other friends, family? You've mentioned your husband a few times, I assume. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he's all on board with this, but, you know, in talking to people outside of a typical psychedelic circle, have you had those kind of conversations? And if so, what kind of reactions have you gotten from people?
Yeah, I love that concept you said of me like walking out on a cloud, because there was definitely moments in that initial journey where I really felt like that. You know, I felt like I have to be really open and honest, and I've tried to live my life since then like that. It is kind of a constant daily battle in reprogramming my brain to allow me to listen to myself. But mm-hmm. one of the big things has really been being honest with people about my experiences with psychedelics when it's appropriate to do so, and kind of challenging that idea that there's something stigmatized about these experiences, or that there's something wrong with you if you choose to engage with these drugs, because I think ultimately it just has such a tremendously healing potential. I kind of feel like it's not something to be ashamed of. So definitely within my inner circle, I've been really fortunate both to have people who have also left my church, who I've been able to have psychedelic trips with, which has been really healing, as well as like having trips with my husband just individually. I think is just such a beautiful thing, like to have a partner that you can engage in that space with and feel safe with. Unfortunately, I wish that I could have more contact with people from my past. I think that the thing that I would want to probably emphasize is that I ended up having a really incredibly lucky time of it, where the friend that had gone on this really facilitated our first several mushroom journeys was going through a similar experience of doubting and questioning, and my husband had really been doubting and questioning around the same time. So the three of us having those formative journeys, I think, allowed all of us in our own way to make our own exits. And it wasn't until after that break that another few people that we knew did end up reaching out to us. And since then, we were really able to form like a support system for each other. And a lot of that did include holding space for each other's psychedelic experiences, even if it wasn't having journeys together, which definitely includes that, but really also being able to help each other process and having that shared frame of reference has been amazing. And something that I don't know that many people, well, actually I know that many people from my upbringing have not had. My friend had recently lost one of his close childhood friends. And we know so many people who have been affected by suicide or drug overdose or like unexpectedly, and really just died way too young because of oppression and because of shunning and you know, really being mistreated and not being able to be helped in the way that they needed to. And so it has, because of that, been so important to me to talk about it. And so I've surprised how positive the feedback has been, as far as like sharing those experiences with other people. It's actually led to some really amazing conversations, and also other people I know either having their own experiences with entheogenics or maybe growing and expanding those relationships by sharing them with them, or even just helping overcome some of that feeling that you have. Like, I'm sure you can attest to this, having given your own psychedelic experiences, that sometimes you can really feel like an alien afterwards. It can be incredibly difficult to be around other people. Like, I've talked a lot about support and a lot about the love and help and I've had in my life, but there's also been moments where it's just maybe impossible to even verbalize what you've experienced or what you felt. And so, it's so important, I think, to talk about when you can, because then you can also help somebody else feel like they are not as alone and that they are not as isolated and they're maybe not as alien as they think they are.
Yeah, exactly. Very inspirational. Anything else you want to share in general before we wrap up?
I don't think that anything in particular comes to mind. I just really do appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this. I think that it's really important in general for people to share their experiences because, you know, like I said, it's just so transformational and can really give people a sense of healing and catharsis that I think within reason anybody really should have access to.
Yeah, me too. And I'm so grateful for you to come here and share your story. It's an amazing story, and I'm really excited for the time when you get that master's degree and you start working, and hopefully at that point you can legally introduce, you know, psilocybin and some other entheogens into your practice. And I'm super happy for you, Sophia, and I'm really grateful that you came and shared your story with us.
Thank you.
That concludes this edition of the Stoned Ape Reports. Thank you for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at Stoned Ape Comedy. And subscribe to our newsletter at www.stonedapecomedy.com. Again, thanks for listening, and catch you next time, Stoned Apes.